Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. I've been studying on this thought for just a little while. I've mentioned it a couple of times, and it just hadn't came out for me to be able to preach yet. But I want to preach on the thorns tonight. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter number 3, the first time that thorns is mentioned in the Word of God. And do pray for Brother Richard back there as he's trying to get all this stuff straightened out and sounding good. Amen. It sounds up here. It sounds rough right now. I don't know. Does it sound fine out there? Sounds fine out there. Okay, I'll just get used to roughness up here. Amen. And so, that sounds great. If it's fine, it sounds good to y'all, that's fine with me. I just got to get used to being able to know what sounds good, okay? I'll get to preaching. I'll get down there and listen to y'all, watch y'all listening to in a minute. And, amen. But Genesis chapter number 3, Genesis chapter 3. We come to the book of Genesis. I actually believe this. I say this in Bible college all the time. I believe if you get past Genesis 1:1, you can believe the whole Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Once you get past that, I don't want to go into it, but get through all the isms. That one little statement gets through all the isms that they are. And you've heard me say that before. Amen. But we come to Genesis chapter number 3, and I want to start reading at verse number 14. Verse number 14. And I want to deal with this thing of thorns. The book of Genesis is the seedbed of the Bible. Matter of fact, one man said every doctrine in the Bible, and I'm sure he's true, has its origin in the book of Genesis. The book is the fountain from which the truth of God is stored and springs forth. It's a fountain where it's stored and springs forth. It branches out into many rivers and flows and gives us the promises of God down through the ages. Pastor J. William Kanoy, we knew him as Billy Kanoy. He preached many messages at Faith Baptist Camp. How many ever heard Brother Kanoy preach at Faith Baptist Camp? Amen. Well, some of y'all need to get right with God. No, some of y'all need to go to camp. Amen. This is years ago. He was preached there and preached in the morning time. Most of the time I got to hear him several times. Also went out in Greensboro one time and was out there and meeting with him. A great man of God. Now he said this. He said, and I quote, "Genesis is a fountainhead of all truth and is a miniature Bible. It proclaims God's sovereign grace to sinners, his plan and purpose for fallen humanity, and reveals the riches of redemption for all who believe." Now, if we could really realize what all that's saying, we'd just shout and run the aisles. That's what Genesis does for you and I. You can find salvation in the book of Genesis. I mean, we can find Christ. Dehan wrote a book on the portraits of Christ, on the portraits of Christ in the book of Genesis, and what a book it is. And then Genesis is about really, there's four main events, there's many events, and there's four main people that we deal with in the book of Genesis. We find that the first, we find creation, chapter 1 and 2, and we find also the fall of man, we find the flood, we find also where the foreign language came into play. Then he deals with four people. One, which was a friend of God. Who was that? Abraham. All right, we know our Bible. Amen. Somebody's turned the TV off and listened to the Bible. One was the figure of Christ, the future, and that was Isaac, which you just sung about Isaac. And then one was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, and that is Jacob. And then one was a faithful man to God. Of course, that was Joseph. And we see this, the book of Genesis is captivated by these four people. In the book of Genesis, we see the start of the beginning of the universe. We see the beginning of the solar system, the beginning of our atmosphere, and all the water upon the earth, and all the beginning of life is in the book of Genesis. And we realize where we came from the book of Genesis. God breathed, and man became a living soul. Wasn't no bang. God breathed, and they became a living soul. We see the first man, Adam. We see the first marriage. Thank God for marriage. Amen. And that first union, we see all, unfortunately, the first deception in the book of Genesis, Satan and Eve. We see the origin of language, and we see the government and also culture and all these different things, the source of our nations, the source of religion, and false religion. And then we see the God's chosen people as they started in the book of Genesis. But also we see where sin started. A fall of mankind. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And since that and snakes has been cursed, I just think you should kill them. Now, my wife does get upset at me sometimes, but I don't kill black snakes. They say they keep poison snakes away and stuff like that. So we'll have a black snake around every once in a while, so I won't kill them. We had one down here at the church one time, and a pretty large one. I think he still lives around here somewhere. But anyway, he was shed his, we didn't tell Miss McCulley this till after we moved. He was shed his skin. Me and Brother Nick's found it several times in the basement. And he just got getting bigger and bigger and bigger. One day he was just laying out there in front of the door. He's about 6 foot long, and pretty good old size thing. And so we've just been letting him go. I think he lives in that wall. Please don't go and kill him. We don't have problems with rats. We don't have problems with the little people coming around. And I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. I'm just kidding about that. But we don't have no problem with that. So don't bother the rat. Don't bother the snake. But anyway, most of us don't like snakes, and that's a good reason not to like them. In verse 14, somebody say amen. And so, but anyway. All right, verse number 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Verse number 17. "And unto the Adam, he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife." Somebody said, what happened in the garden? Well, Adam and Eve fell in the garden, but Eve ate us out of house and home. Amen. That's just what it says. And Adam listened to the wrong person. Somebody say amen. I'm going to get in trouble if I really want to say what I want to say here, so I'm going to move on very quickly. "And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life." And here it is, verse number 18, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, to thy return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust shall thou return." And I want to preach tonight on thorns. Just talk about just a little bit about thorns. I've got two sermons, I believe, that the Lord let me preach, this one and another one on thorns. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us, and we thank you for saving us. And God, we thank you for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. God, our hearts are heavy as a pastor. Father, our hearts are heavy. I pray, God, that you'll just help us tonight. And God, may we glean something tonight from this about thorns. May we just not listen to a sermon, listen to a message. But God, may we allow the Spirit of God to touch down in our hearts. And may we realize what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Really, the second message is more personal than the first message. But the first message is just laying a foundation, if you will, about thorns. We find here the product of the curse. Thorns is a product of the curse of God. We realize the curse has came. "His thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs." And to the fall, there was no thorns. Adam didn't have any problem picking a rose without the thorns before the fall. He didn't have to do as sweat and till the ground as we think of it as today before the fall of mankind. And to the fall, there was no thorns to prick the hand. There was no pain and sorrow. There was no death. There was no sadness. And the garden that he kept brought great joy to him. We realize that when we see that we're to labor, the labor to eat, the labor over our bread, the reason that this the earth still is under the curse. You and I are saved, but we're still under the curse. Yeah, Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." And it's still under the curse. Realize the curse is still here. Every generation from Adam on has had thorns to produce sorrow and to produce pain and severe pain. And they're reminded, and every time we see a thorn, it reminds us of the fall of mankind. It's a product of the curse. It's a product of that curse. It reminds us of the curse. It reminds us of the cost of the curse. It reminds us that you and I are in a fallen world. A lot of times it's the way you want to look at things. You know, you can look at, there's a rose among the thorns, or and among the thorns there's roses. It depends on which way you want to look at it. Amen. And we realize that we're in this fallen state, in this fallen nature, and the product of the curse is this thorns that came up. But not only the product of it, I believe it pictures some other things. I believe it also tells us, this thorn shows us in the present country that you and I live in. In Genesis 3:18, he said, "Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herbs of the field." And that's ever since that day, you and I realize that sins came into the world. The thorns is a picture and represents sin. Amen. It's a picture of the present day that sin. And no matter where you go, no matter where you plant seed at, no matter where you get off the airplane at, no matter where you plant your feet upon God's green earth, guess what you're going to find? Thorns.
Yeah.
And it's we're from a one man sin in the world, death by sin, so death passes on all men. For what? All have what? Sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So sin is everywhere. You're not going to get away from it. It's like thorns. You're not going to get away from them. Thorns are everywhere, and thorns and sin is everywhere. And so it's a product of the curse, but also it's showing us that present in our country, it's present in every nation, it's present in every day, and every young person that's born, and of the generations to come, and the generations behind us, they realize that thorns was a picture and a type of sin.
Yeah.
It represents the curse that's been put upon this earth. I don't know about you, but we paid a lot for Adam's disobedience, didn't we? We paid a lot for Adam disobeying God. Now we know Eve was deceived, and she was deceived.
Yeah.
And Adam did not have to sin, but he was willing to sin. And he took upon himself that he was willing to take that fruit and eat that fruit. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. I believe it was because of Adam's love for Eve. So that Adam could not pick Eve up and bring him back to himself. He could not get her out of her sinful state, but you know what he could do? He could go to where she was at. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. He couldn't bring us back because we was mired by sin. And we cannot be reinstated without somebody came and paid a sin debt for you and I.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came and died on Calvary and paid that sin debt for you and I. He loved us so much he came to be one of us that he might resurrect us, might take us and make us whole again. And one day we'd be able to be fit subjects to be in his presence.
Yeah.
And be with him. What a blessing that is. Amen.
But
there's a cost to sin, and that cost is great. And that sin of Adam was just what we call the sin of disobedience.
Yeah.
I teach in Bible college the doctrine of sin. I'm not talking about young men. I'm not talking about this great sin of murdering somebody or killing somebody. I'm not talking about a great sin of lying or stealing or cheating. I'm talking about a simple sin of God saying, "Adam, don't eat of that fruit." And Adam disobeyed God, and look at the cost. Look at the cost that it cost you and I. It brought sin into the world. Now, if that little act of disobedience, something that you and I knew from a child, it won't be long. Colton will be starting, he's already starting to reach for things as you're holding him. And it won't be long that I'm sure that Aaron will do something that he said he never would do to his children, correct them. You know, when you was correcting them, they all, I will never do this to my children. But it'll change. And finally it'll come to a point where he'll go reach out for something and Candace or Aaron will say no. And they're not going to say no because they don't want him to enjoy what it is, but they'll say no because they're afraid it might would hurt him.
Yeah.
It may be something as simple as a little fork or a little, even just a little knife. Or it may be a little fork, or it may be something that's hot. Or it's maybe something that you just don't need. And they'll tell him no. And restrain him. And you know what will happen? In his disobedient, that disobedient nature that we have, he will reach again.
Yeah, right.
I know some of y'all, you just raised angels. You said no and they never went back. And you know, you said no one time and they learned right then. Aaron used this illustration about our cat. We have a new cat. The cat was bought to go outside. I'm telling y'all this. We actually adopted a cat. Amen. And the cat will go outside. And we adopted the cat. And the cat is now, he's finally graduating from the house to the garage. Okay? And so every time the door opens, guess what happens? He wants to come in. But he has learned pretty fast. If I'm opening the door, he's not coming in. And so I've told him no longer enough. I've told this little, it's she, yeah, Chloe. I call it cat. But anyway, it's Cleo. It's Cleo. It's not Chloe. It's Cleo. You don't even know what you named your cat. Right. But I've told this. Now, you've got to realize, can I tell the story? Can I tell the little story behind getting adopted? We adopted and bought a cat. Now, I'm telling you, we really adopted a cat. We didn't just go somewhere and, I mean, it was a humane society, but they take references now. And we had to give names. They called Granny Nix. And Aaron is sitting here and will testify. They called Aaron McCully. And this is what they said. They said, son, said your parents is wanting to adopt a cat. They wanting to become kitty parents. We're living in a crazy world. This is a cat. Now, mom and them and Andrew is kind of fighting about that, but it's a cat to daddy. I'm telling you, it's a cat. And this is what Aaron told me. Well, they made pretty good parents to me. And I guess that's qualified us to get the cat. And there's a warning came along with it. We may come by and check on it. Matter of fact, they did have a problem that we told her that from up front, the cat is going to be an outside cat. And she had a little problem about that. But hey, if you're trying to get rid of cats, get rid of cats. I know they need to go into a decent environment. I understand that, but it's still a cat. Amen. But I've taught that cat is learning what no means. Amen. I've not been abusive to it. I've just stopped it. And it goes again and out. I stop it and put it back out. And I stop it and I put it back out. And that cat is finally learning a little bit what no means. But it's took it a while. And it's, but don't you laugh, because y'all were the same way. When your mom and daddy tried to tell you not to do something, they had to tell you time and time again. You said, where are you going with this? This is exactly where I'm going. If just disobedience, the sin of disobedience, caused us to have thorns, what about how we're treating God today in our Christian walk and being disobedient to Him? If it was so, I mean, that He would curse the whole world with thorns because of the disobedience of one man, don't you think God hates our sin? Don't you think God is displeased and God is sick when you and I sin against Him?
Yeah.
I mean, if this is a sin of disobedience, and sometimes our sins is a lot more than that. Don't you think that God is sick of us sinning? If He would curse the world and caused all this all this sorrow and all this pain and all the things that came, the seven results from sin, and I'll talk about them in just a minute. When the curse came from the fall of mankind, there's seven of them. Don't you think it grieves the heart of God when His children sins against Him? When His children sins against Him? I believe it grieves the heart of God, don't you?
Amen.
I know we're Baptists, but I believe it'd be good for us to try to sin less than we sin.
Amen.
It's present in every country. We see these thorns are. The cost of sin spread all over the world. Wherefore by one man, sin in the world, death by sin. So death passed on all men, for all have sinned. I'm telling you, just because of the sin of disobedience, I believe it would be good for you and I to try to be obedient children. Doesn't things go around the house a whole lot better when the children that's in the house are obedient?
Yeah.
And young people, you don't realize this, you don't understand this. It don't need to go a whole lot better there at the house. It's a whole lot better for you. When you're obedient. I don't know, but has anybody ever went to the back room? I wasn't asking for volunteers and testimonies. Calm down. Son, we'll talk to you later. I know your mind's been warped and all that. Hey, my daddy knew what it was to go to the back room and to have apply the board of knowledge to the seat of education. Amen. And get that thing of obedience took care of. When there was these bad words when mama said this, when daddy gets home, he's gonna take care of you. That's bad words at home. Because when daddy got home, daddy was wanting everything to be what? Peaceful. I mean, he worked all day. He wanted everything. And so, I mean, somebody has ruffled up the nest. Somebody has got mama unhappy. Amen. And so when he come in and he found that out and there wasn't going to be no peace in the house, and so we just took care of business right up front. War is even worse. We said, okay, after we eat, before you go to bed, I'm taking care of you. Because you knew what was coming the whole time. Sometimes it's better to get it over with. But our God, I believe He's with you. I believe He's discouraged about our sin. We should be sinning a whole lot less. Don't you think so? Young people, there's consequences to your sins. There's consequences of being disobedient. I'm thinking that thorn, and next time you see the roses and you see that thorn, let it remind you there's a cost. There's a cost to doing wrong. I want our young people to hear this. There's a cost to sinning.
Amen.
Now, can you sin and can you get by? No. Can you sin and get forgiveness? Yes. But even when you sin and get forgiveness, there's still a cost to it.
Amen.
There's still, and I'm preaching now, not as a novice. I'm preaching now from experience. I was raised in a Christian home. I was taught what was right and what was wrong. I knew, Brother Bo, what not to do and what to do. And I chose to be disobedient. And do I realize I still have some things in my past that still comes to my mind because of that disobedience? It'd be wonderful, young people, that you would never submit yourself or give yourself into listening to the wrong kind of music. If you'll never get an appetite for that, it'll never bother you.
Yeah.
I believe. See, I can listen to what they call Christian rock today, and it takes me back to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, see, this is just water going off a duck's back, but I'm just going to keep preaching it because maybe somebody, one out of 1,000, may take it. But you just think, I can listen to that and it won't bother me, but you don't realize it gets in your mind. You ask these people here that walked away from God in their youth and then finally came back, and you can just, hey, you can go into the grocery store, you can go out at the mall, and they begin to play some of that music, and all those lyrics come back.
Yeah.
But with those lyrics come back other things too. We won't talk about them. I'm telling you. And I'm telling you with a lot of force. With a good ring to it. I'm kidding with him, Becker. But we need to realize there's a cost.
Yeah.
Thorns. We're just telling pet stories tonight. Y'all know that we had a dog and the dog went missing. And contrary to what some people believe, I didn't love the dog. I loved the dog. But it was a dog, but I loved the dog. And I've got the scars to prove it. Because when it left, I still got a scar. Because I got down, I was trying to find this dog. So I got down and I went through the briars. Got to the fence and went through the fence. And trying to find this dog. Because I trying to find the dog. And I went through those scars. I went through those briars. And they hurt. I went back in and changed clothes. Put on some clothes that was more for being outside. Amen. Had on the sweatpants. And I just went right through that. I went and got some jeans. Some heavy jeans. And then I went. But it was too late. I'd already got. Well, I was bloody. I was bleeding by then. But I look. I'm telling you. There's a cost. There's a cost to sin. These, and you just realize those thorns there, they hurt. Those thorns are there. And that's what sin, that's the cause, the curse. That's what sin's going to do in your life. It's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Hey, will you learn from the thorn that it'll hurt you? And sin is rampant all over the world. And sin does the same thing all over the world. The sin in Africa affects people the same as it does in America. Yeah. Sinning in China affects you as much as it does as sinning in America. Amen. Yeah. Realize that the presence of sin, there's a cost. It causes things. Then, of course, we see the portrait of Christ on the cross because of the thorn. Galatians 3:13 said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Mark 15:17 said, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Do you realize that Calvary, the sevenfold results of the fall, was clearly seen at Calvary? Let me give them to you. First, he was made a curse. That's easy, wasn't it? Second, he was a man of what? Sorrow. Third, he was crowned with thorns. There's the thorns.
Yeah.
Fourth, in the garden, his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. Fifth, he truly died. Wherefore, what? Where one man's sin in the world? Death by sin. Amen.
Amen.
We see that in the fall. What did he say in Genesis 3:19? He said, out of it was thou taken, and for dust thou art, and to dust shall thou what? Return. He said, you're going to die.
Yeah.
What are you saying? You're going to die. You're going to be buried. There's another one. Jesus was buried. Amen. And then what? The last one. What did they put in the front of that garden to keep Adam and Eve from going back? What did they put? A sword? And they pierced Jesus' side. The sevenfold. And we see it's portrayed at Calvary. And do you realize, if we look at Calvary, they took the purple robe off. They cast lots for it. But as far as we know, Jesus never had his crown of thorns taken off. It's not told in the Bible if they took him off. That curse. It portrays Christ as on the cross. The crown of thorns is never removed as far as we're told in the Scriptures. He's stripped of his clothes, but he's never removed of the thorns. He bore our condemnation. He became a curse for us.
Yeah.
He became sin for you and I. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. I'm telling you, he took our thorns. He wore that crown. He wore the crown of sin, if you will, that he might become, that you and I could wear the crown of life. That you and I could have eternal life. That you and I could be saved. We could be redeemed. And then lastly, if we would go to Isaiah 55, you don't have to turn there. There is a possibility of thorns changing us. Those thorns being changed, if you will. It said in Isaiah 55, verse 13, instead of thorns shall come forth the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come forth the myrtle tree, and it shall be of the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This verse, of course, is speaking of the millennial. Aren't you glad tonight we're finally going to go to a place where there'll be no more curse? There'll be no more thorns. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more sorrow. I'm glad to know that one day God's going to turn this thing all around again. Turn it all back the way it should be. Amen? Aren't you glad tonight that God is going to do that for you and I? I wonder tonight when he's speaking here about the millennial. The saints of God will be able to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in the millennium. I just wonder, will you be ready when Jesus comes to take his church out, to go to be with him? Will you be among those that will come back with him? Will you be among them that will be in the millennium with your glorified body? Praising and singing and shouting to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that ruleth and reigns forever and ever and ever. Are you prepared to meet him? Are you ready to meet him? Now this is just laying the foundation of the thorns. This is what the thorns have done. It's what it's brought in. It's brought the curse. It's a type of sin. It portrays Calvary. It's present everywhere we go. But it's one day the thorn's going to be taken away.
Amen.
One day. Hey, yeah. That ought to excite us. One day the thorns are going to be gone. One day you and I are going to be able to be in the presence of Almighty God and live with him forever and ever and ever. What a day that'll be. Amen. What a day that'll be when we'll get to live with him forever and ever. And there'll be no more curse. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sadness. But that is, if you took care of the thorn while it's here. So you and I have sin in our life. All of us are sinners. And we need Jesus that became sin for you and I, became the sacrifice for sin for you and I, that became the sin debt for you and I, paid the sin debt for you and I, became sin for us. You need to accept him, or guess what? That thorn will always be with you. As much as I want to talk about heaven, and how I'd like to talk about the splendors of that place, for the next few minutes, I don't need to talk about it. I need to talk about another place. There's a place of darkness. There's a place of no light. There's a place of sorrow. There's a place of pain. There's a place of gnashing of teeth. There's a place where there's no water to drink. People's thirsty. You and I know what the name of that place is, don't we? The name is, place is hell. And men and women and boys and girls that die outside of the grace of God, that hasn't had this thorn taken care of, the thorn of sin taken care of, that all of us was born with, if it hadn't been taken care of, one day you're going to plunge into hell. Separated from God. Being tormented in a flame. Never, ever, ever, for all eternity, never able to get out of that place, but just for a brief amount of time, to stand before an almighty God that'll judge you, and he'll take hell and cast it into the lake of fire, which burneth with brimstone forever and ever and ever. I'm glad as a little 7-year-old boy at Rose Chapel Baptist Church, I took care of that. And that thorn, that curse that I was under, I'm not under it anymore. Oh, I'm still living in this old flesh. This flesh still wants desires to do bad, do wrong. But hey, I've got my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm a fit subject for heaven. I'm saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, been adopted into the family of God. I'm part of the family of the beloved. I wonder if you are tonight. I wonder if you know what it is to be saved. And one day I'll get to experience the thorns the roses without thorns. But if you don't get saved, all you're going to experience the rest of your life is the curse.
Hey.
The fall of mankind.
Yeah.
Death, sorrow, pain. Agony. You know, hell wouldn't be that bad, Brother Hub, if it was just casted in like we cast in a little piece of paper in the fire and it just burns up and goes away. But that's not what hell's going to be. Hell wouldn't be so bad if it was like a piece of wood that we throw on the fire and it burns for a little while of time and then finally turns to ashes. That's not what hell's going to be. Hell's going to be for all eternity. Do you realize that rich man that Lazarus sat at his gate and begged for alms is still crying out for a drop of water? If we could open back the earth and peel her back, we could still hear the voice of that man crying. Can you have Lazarus just come and take his finger and, I mean, just dip it in some water. Just one drop. He's still in agony tonight. He's still in pain tonight. He's still in the fire tonight. He's still paying the sin debt tonight that Jesus paid for us. Jesus took our hell on Calvary. Oh, y'all need to get this now. Jesus took our hell on Calvary. He tasted death for every man. And you know what that man's going to finally experience one day? He's going to experience what the Bible talks about, Brother Steve, is the second death. Cast in the lake of fire. I'm talking about something that's not a fairy tale story. It's the truth.
Amen.
I'm talking about something that's true. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, that curse, that thorn is going to follow you to your grave.
Yeah.
But I'm glad for you and I, it's going to be done away with.
Amen.
That thorn should turn into a fir tree. And them briars in the what was it, myrtle? I think he's into a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, and shall not be cut off.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's a way of getting rid of that thorn.
Right.
Curse of sin is upon you and I. One day this earth, it'll be relieved. One day you and I will be relieved. But only those that have trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. If not, you'll die under that curse. You'll die under that sin. You'll die as if that thorn is stuck in you. Oh, I'm glad I got rid of that thorn, ain't you? I'm glad I got rid of my sins. Hallelujah, I'm glad they're gone. I'm glad they've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I've been born again. Saved, redeemed. Thank God that I've been birthed into His family. Are you glad you saved tonight?
Amen.
Oh, we could talk about some other things. One person mentioned this, said there's a possibility of having those thorns in our individual life. Even after we're saved, there's a possibility of becoming slothful, becoming uncaring, and drifting back into that life of not caring. Proverbs 24, 30 and 31 said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown up with thorns. I don't know about you, but if you don't watch it, this whole world can, even though we're saved, we don't watch it. We get comfortable in this world. We get slothful, lazy, not doing what we're supposed to do. And those, not that we lose our salvation, but the thorn, sin, enters back into our lives.
Yeah.
And it begins to prick us, scar us. Amen. I wonder if the devil's put something back in your life that shouldn't be there. We're standing our heads abound. Brother Mike's ready to sing.